What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Life at Disney podcast, Disney College Program miniseries. I'm Josiah.
And I'm Holly, and we are your hosts.
Right now, you are about to meet Tyria, who's on the podcast for the first time, and Tasia, who's coming back for her second appearance. They're both part of the Disney College Program HBCU cohort powered by Disney on the Yard. They chose to stay with the company.
Now, Tyria is a guest experience manager in attractions at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and Tasia is a guest experience manager in merchandise at Epcot.
Welcome in. How's everything been?
Hey, y'all. Everything has been so good. Since my HBCU cohort experience, everything has been truly amazing, honestly.
Well, everything has been good. Thanks for asking. Okay, so give a little intro. I know, Tasia, we have already met on a previous season, but for both of you, do a little intro. Who are you?
My name is Tyria. I'm a recent graduate of Alabama A&M University, and my Disney journey started in the summer of 2022 when Sherelle and Carla came to my classroom to tell me about the Disney college program, which was an amazing experience for me, just to learn about Disney and know that they had opportunities for students who looked just like me. So when they came in, they kind of changed my perspective of going to the college program and just to see my opportunities and kind of see what it was about. So I got accepted into the Disney College program. However, a few months later, the HBCU cohort applications came out. And I was like, what is this? This is speaking my language, like HBCU. So this was an amazing program for me. So I reached out to Sherelle, and he was able to make that a smooth transition for me. So when I came, my first program was attractions at Disney's Hollywood Studios at Lightning McQueen Racing Academy. And then the next summer, I did come back to the program. And then I was a photo pass photographer at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. And there's so much in there that we're going to be able to talk about and explore. But before we get there, Tasia, what about you?
Yes. So I'm also a graduate of Alabama A&M University. And it's actually very similar to yours, because I learned about the college program actually from Instagram, but Sherelle was also my recruiter. So the first time I applied, I did get accepted, but I was a little nervous. So I was like, nah, I'm going to hold off. And then I circled back around because I did see the HBCU applications post. And I was also like, oh, okay, like Disney, HBCU, like that's me. So I applied, got accepted, and I came down. And when I got here, of course, it was only 3 months, but I was like, nah, I need a little bit more.
That's just amazing to hear. I mean, from both of you guys, and especially from my perspective, because I've been able to kind of see your journey a little bit over at Apprentice Hall. We've said this thing a few different times, HBCU cohort. What exactly is that for those who don't know?
So yes, HBCU stands for Historically Black Colleges and Universities. So with the HBCU cohort in particular, we come to Disney to participate in a Disney college program, and it has like a little twist. Okay, so when you say little twist, what does that mean? Are there like any experiences that you guys got to have either through the program or organically through people you met because you were part of the HBCU cohort?
With the little twist, it was HBCUs from all over the country. So getting able to meet like different HBCUs, because we're one and the same, but we're yet so different. So getting to learn about people and not only network up, but network out too. So I had networks at Grambling or Alabama State, which is my rival school. So, you know, we don't really fool with them like that. But, you know, just to get that experience to know that we're going on the same goal, but also with the HBCU cohort, we was able to do like learning experiences and different network sessions that, of course, we had to take the initiative, but being around like-minded people, it was very, very, very useful.
Yeah. And then Tasia, what about you? So yes, just like Tyria mentioned, HBCUs are so unique because we all did come from all over the country and we came here to work for Disney. And yes, we all come from HBCUs, but we are all unique. And at the end of our program, at the end of the summer, we got to participate in Yard Fest. What Disney programs did was they brought like Drum Major Mickey, and then they brought just like, it was like a big homecoming. And homecoming is so big with HBCUs because like we have the band and it's just like a big family reunion. And so for us to actually have that experience here at Disney and for it to be just a community of like HBCUs, and not just HBCUs, but other students as well that wants to learn more about just like, our universities or HBCUs in general, it was just like an amazing experience.
Most definitely. And I can kind of piggyback off of Tasia as well when she talked about the Yard Fest. But also, when I worked at Disney's Hollywood Studios, my first program, the executive, Kenny, he's also an HBCU grad. So when he knew that the program was coming, he basically was like, hey, I need these sets of cast members from this time to this time. And was just talking to us about like different experiences. So just getting a unique experience like that, just networking and, you know, having somebody to lean on and somebody to talk to.
Yeah. You guys have these truly cultural experiences, not just being a part of the program, but being able to bring some of that with you here. Mm-hmm. What did that mean to you to be able to share a bit of that and to teach people about it? What did that feel like?
Oh my gosh, I love this question because a lot of people, when they see my name tag, when you have your when you're on the college program, you see your school. So they'll always say like Roll Tide, and I used to be like, nope, Alabama A&M, go Bulldogs. So just to have that conversation, it was a conversation starter, and I got to educate people on my program, and they was like, okay, like let me look into that, and just to like, you know more about HBCUs and the different culture it brings, because at an HBCU is a different culture in itself. So I try to bring my HBCU with me wherever I go. So if you look at me, you'd be like, yeah, she went to HBCU. So most definitely.
I definitely agree. And then when you do have like your schools, not just like HBCUs, but like any university in general, like when you're part of the Disney College program and people come up to you and be like, I went there, and it's just like, wow. And then they want to learn more about the program or more about what you're doing. Being a part of the HBCU cohort meant so much because I'll never forget like the first time I arrived on my Disney College program and to walk into the room with all these executives that attended HBCUs or just different universities from across the country. And it's just like, wow. For example, like Carla, she graduated from Alabama A&M and she's an executive. So like to see her, and our school motto is Start Here, Go Anywhere. And to know that like she started at Alabama A&M and she's an executive for the Walt Disney Company, like it just means so much. And it just shows that like, it doesn't matter where you come from. Like as long as you have the right mindset, you can truly like skyrocket up. So it's just like so much motivation, and it just like is so empowering and fulfilling to see someone like her that went to my school and is where she is now.
Okay, so I want to go from there because I think that segues really nicely into where you guys have gone since participating in the HBCU cohort. I love, you know, you shared your school's motto, Start Here, Go Anywhere. Is that what it was? Oh, yes, I love that. Okay, so where has Anywhere taken you?
Yeah, so Anywhere has taken me so far, but it also brought me back because I was a program representative for the Disney College program at my HBCU, and getting to let students know at my HBCU about what Disney has to offer and the different opportunities that they have for us was truly amazing because some of my fellow peers and classmates do come from underrepresented communities. So them to know like, oh, Disney, they got a place for me. I'm like, yes, come on. Like we accept the applications now, like get on it. So just to see somebody like me and like, oh, you enjoyed your program. And with me documenting my program, it really gave them like, oh, okay, like she's having a good time and she's just like me. So let me apply and see what it's about. But it was a great opportunity for me to recruit at my HBCU for sure.
Yeah, so Anywhere has literally taken me everywhere, I feel like, because when I came to the Disney College program, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I really, honestly and truly came because I wanted my family to experience something they never got to experience before. And when I got here, it was way more than that. Like the connections that you make, the learning sessions that I was able to attend. When I tell y'all, I was probably at Apprentice Hall at Flamingo Crossings Village every day, every off day I had, just because the learning sessions that they have are so fulfilling and they truly do help you make those connections and network. Like I was in there and I had so much fun. And from there, like I said, like I extended my program as far out as I could. So like just attending those sessions and them pushing me and seeing me and be like, Tasia, what is it that you want to do? And I really didn't know, but it's people within the Walt Disney Company that saw something in me that I didn't see yet, and they kind of helped to guide me to where I am now. So
So for you both, was there a specific moment where you said, this is the company for me? Or did you kind of feel that coming into it like almost instantly? Where was that for you?
So for me, I didn't know that Disney was for me, but I got here and there were people that truly pushed me. And then the more I got here, I'm like, dang, this is actually fun. And then I would be in the parks like all the time. And the moment that sparked me was on my Disney College program. I actually worked at Magic Kingdom at Big Top Souvenirs. And so many cast members would come to me and ask me questions. And so I wasn't a trainer at the time, but I love teaching people. And so my trainers or my coordinators would be like, Tasia, you should be a trainer. You should be a trainer. And I'm like, nah, I'm okay. People kept asking me. And I'm like, maybe they are seeing something in me that I don't see just yet. And then also I did allow fear to kind of like slow me down a little bit because I was just like, am I even capable of being a trainer? So I sat down with my leaders and they were so supportive and they walked me through the steps. And I had like an on-the-spot interview. I didn't even know it. And I ended up getting, becoming a trainer. And from that moment, it was just like, oh, I'm a trainer now. And then from there, they're like, oh, you should be a coordinator. You should be a leader. And it's just like next level. And then the development that my location helped me with. So that really was like the moment that sparked was just like when I became a trainer and I got that pin, the training pin. And I was like, wow. I actually need, like, I can do this, so.
Yes. No, I love that for you, Tasia, because I always, the first time I met Tasia, y'all, like, she just had a good personality, good energy. Like, even now, she always, like, hold me accountable or, like, hey, you need to be doing this. So mm-hmm. I can definitely see that for you, Tasia. Like, I love that for you so much. But like you said, that moment, I think I want to go in a different route. Like, just seeing Disney through other people's eyes, because I don't think I've had that spark, but seeing like a little girl come up looking at the castle for the first time, like that is like a life-changing experience, especially when I was a PhotoPass photographer. Like, you know, seeing different reactions to how like Disney make people feel, I think that's something that inspired me to keep going. Like, you know, this is people's dream vacation, so I want to be a part of that. I always wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself, so I think Disney allows me to be who I am. And the guests, they love it. They eat it up every time. So I love that. I love that. I think that's what encouraged me to stay in. That's how I know that this is truly the company for me, for sure.
And I do also just want to piggyback off of you, because when I would go to Magic Kingdom and I would see Tyree on Main Street when she had that camera, like when I say she would be the life of like Main Street, because she would truly spark the guests or like hype them up too and be like, yes, girl, like this, like that. And you can tell like the guests truly loved it. And it's just like magical moments like that where it's just like you on Main Street was you. Like,
no,
it was
it. Oh my God.
I feel like the theme I'm hearing from both of you is like the impact that you got to make, like whether that's Tyria, you on Main Street, like hyping the guests up, like behind the camera, like pause like this right now, which is like so fun because then you get to see their confidence and like their excitement bloom, or whether it's Tasia, like internally, you know, becoming a trainer, being able to have that impact on other people, maybe people who were in a similar situation to you where they're like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. And you're like, no, but you can.
No, literally.
And actually you're gonna.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I'm gonna help you. What does it mean to be able to have that kind of impact, whether it's on guests or other cast members?
So at first, I didn't realize I had impact at all. Like, I used to just live my life, like, and just do me. But when I noticed, when I started documenting my college program, my journey, people was like, oh, what are you doing? What's that about? Like, you moving into Flamingo? I'm nice. Is that stainless steel? Like, what? So just to know that, like, what I said mattered, and I had to take that responsibility. And it changed my life for the better, because I never thought I could be a manager. And to know that they're coming to me to find the answers, like, and I'm like, y'all sure? Like, this 23-year-old girl right here, y'all sure me? But just to realize, like, I can do it, and just to build my confidence. So it's definitely gave me a sense of responsibility to know that, Tyria, you can do it. Do not psych yourself out, because they're going to come and ask you, and you got to be ready when they come. So most definitely.
I agree with the impact. I'm also sometimes, like, when I'm at work and I'm like, wow, y'all really coming to me? Like, but it just shows that someone impacted me and the same thing that they did for me, I want to do that for my cast members as well.
From our perspective, you both have, I mean, just bold, bright energy and the confidence to back it up. And I think even Tyria from day one, like, you became best friends with like our director and so many people, right? And from what, from our perspective, we saw that. For you, did you actually have that confidence to say, I could do this and I can be this leader that you are now, or did that kind of build over time?
For me, it built over time, but I'm such a fake it till you make it person. Eventually it's going to come true. So if I'm already operating in that kind of confidence, it's going to automatically, like, something in my brain is going to be like, okay, like, this is going to be it. But over time it did come, like, this is for real. Like, this is not faking it till I make it anymore. This is it. The confidence is there. Like, I'm here. I'm going to take up space. And that's networking and just talking to different people, because sometimes I'm like, what am I doing? But having someone to talk me through it and to say that, Tyria, I've been there before. Like, it's okay to be nervous sometimes, but don't let that, you know, kind of deteriorate you from doing your best or having that confidence. So that confidence definitely came over time, but I know I'm that girl.
Oh my gosh, Tyria, are we the same person? Because literally I do the same thing. When I say I fake it until I make it, like, even when I'm at networking events, back in college, when I tell y'all, I did not want to network, but I knew the mistakes that I made, and I knew not networking kind of slowed me down from getting to, like, having my career start now. So when I got here, I'm like, I'm a network, even if it's uncomfortable. So one thing that I go by is, like, become comfortable being uncomfortable. And I constantly say that, because it's just like, if I sit there and I'm so uncomfortable, I'm never going to grow. So, like, I'll just go up and I'll talk to you and have a whole conversation. And then sometimes I'm just like, dang, Tasia, like, what did you just say? Like, why'd you say that? But then I make those lifelong connections. And then when I see them again, I'm just like, oh, we had this conversation. And then they see me in another role and they're like, oh, I remember when you did this. And then it's just like, we continue to build onto the connections that we already made. But I agree, fake it till you make it. That's literally what I do, because
I agree, because you have to operate in a growth mindset.
If you could pinpoint, like, one specific experience you had where you're like, huh, I'm really scared right now and I don't want to do this and this is going to be so hard, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to fake it till I make it, that, like, really helped you grow, like, what would that experience be?
So I can't think of a particular moment, but I have moments. So basically so, like, with my program, I extended as far out as I could. So I started as, like, a regular cast member, frontline, and then I became a trainer, and then I jumped and I became a leader. So, like, the coordinator, I wasn't that. And so I finished my training and then I was put out there, and the coordinators, they're calling me and they're like, Tasia, I have a guest that needs to talk to you. And my heart's beating, because I'm like Tyria, I don't like confrontation. And so if I take too long to go in there, then I'm like, they're probably like, she doesn't know what she's doing and they're going to be even mad. So I hurry and I go to the situations. And I think when it comes to listening to a guest, basically, if you kind of listen to them and don't just be like, okay, here's what I'm going to do, they're more open to, like, hearing you out, and they'll kind of, like, bring it down a little bit. But the moment for me was when it was just me and I didn't have anybody that I can call. So it's just like, Tasia, like, this is your role. You have to figure it out. And so it's not like I didn't have anybody to turn to on my team at the moment, because they were in a completely different area. And it's not like they could just come and kind of piggyback and help me out. So I think moments like that is where they just threw me out there and then allow me to kind of learn from the mistakes that I made. It helped me to grow within my role. And now if they call me, I'll be ready.
It's crazy how much you grow when you're, like, almost forced to. And it's like, and then you're like, wait, I can do this. Like, I really am that girl. Yes.
You talked about getting to the point where you were confident in those difficult moments, but those moments are still difficult, right? So after all of that settles, you get to a resolution, a solution. What do you do either immediately after or when you're done with your shift and you're on your way back home to just, like, take care of yourself and to fulfill yourself, so that by the time you're back the next day, you're ready to go?
I go to sleep.
See, me, I got a hype playlist. And so it depends on my mood. Like, My playlist is going to change depending on how I feel. So sometimes when I get off of work, I be in the car like, yeah, like just be having pop time. And then sometimes I just like, I may not have had the best day and I may just like drive in silence and just listen to the car as I roll by. Or, but basically just to take care of me, I definitely kind of disconnect because we do have a work phone as well. So I turn that off, disconnect, and then it's just like me. I reflect, I listen to music. I also like, I'm a strategic type of person, so I like doing puzzles and all of that, so.
In this role, is there like a typical, this is what a day looks like each day, or does it kind of vary and change?
Very spontaneous. You never know what you're walking into. Like, you never know. But I know on a day-to-day basis, like, it is different operational standards that we have to set, especially I work attractions. I want to make sure safety is the number one priority. I never used to operate like that. Like, safety, what is that? Like, but now, like, since working here, like, I know that, like, safety is very important and it's become a big part of my life and in my everyday life as well. So just making sure that's my number one priority and everything will fall into place. But I know, like, every day is going to be, like, an alpha call. If you don't know what an alpha call is, like, emergencies or, like, something is going on with the guests or cast members. And those can be hard, especially, like, if you're just into it. And one thing that I can say that I have anxiety about is the radio that we wear in the parks. Yes. Like, I have radio anxiety to just speak on the radio because it's not only me on the radio. Like, it's literally everyone in the park. So just dealing with different little situations like that helping me, like, you know, be my best version in the role because it looks very different every day.
So with me being at Epcot, I'm also over different countries. So I think a learning experience for me is just like we have cultural representatives. So they are from that specific country pavilion that you work in. So just me and kind of changing like my leadership style or like how I lead my cast members because each cultural they learn different and they're not the same. So just being able to cater towards them and help develop them has also been one thing that I've learned with them being in my role at Epcot as well.
So, no, yeah. Definitely the cast members make it all the while to come to work because, like, they be like, Tyria, I be like, what's up? Like, oh, I cannot wait to go to work today because I haven't been there in a while since my vacation. But they just make it all better and to know that, like, we're literally there to help them and they help us. They just really don't know that they help us as much as we help them. So when they come and ask for advice about career readiness and how to prepare for different situations or getting prepared for different internships, I'm like, I don't know, but let me go figure that out for you. And I got you. Like, give me a day and just hit me up. So just looking out for the cast members is definitely something that I try to do on a day-to-day and just check in on them. Hey, how you doing? Like, you doing all right? You need water? Just walking around, and that's definitely something a part of my day-to-day as well, for sure.
And to piggyback really quick, so also when it comes to just, like, our role, so we both were, like, frontline cast members, and we just did a college program, and we transitioned. So to have that connection and be like, I was just there, like, I understand maybe if you're having a bad day or if your day is going amazing, like, I get that I was just there. So just being able to relate to them a little bit more because I was just in their shoes, it means so much to them. And just to even talk to them or help if they have questions about, like, career development or something, I may not know the direct person, but I know a pathway that you can take that can help you to get to where you actually want to go. So I think that's one thing that I truly appreciate coming from a college program.
Because you both did the college program. How do you feel like the college program influenced your leadership style now that you're kind of on the other side?
Yes, for me, absolutely. Like, if I see my cast members, so, like, say, for instance, there's a cast member that needs to go to the restroom, and we have two registers, but there's only one, you better believe I'm not leaving you there by yourself. I'm not, because I know what it's like to, if somebody, like, needs to go take care of something and you don't have anybody there and there's nobody to fill, not all the time, of course, but if I'm able to help in or make it a little bit easier, you better believe I'm gonna do it. And that's one thing that my cast truly appreciate, because it's just like, Tasia, thank you for helping us. And I'm just like, I'm not gonna sit here and let you, like, struggle, especially, or if I can make a more efficient best believe I'm going to do it every single time.
For sure. I can definitely speak on this. And when we talk about leadership experience and how a leader kind of helped me, I think it used to be this one guy. I never knew that Disney had like leaders, proprietors. I never knew that exists. But this one guy, he used to come over there every day and ask me how I was doing. I was like, why does this guy come over here every day? Like, what is up with him? Like, I'm at work, like, leave me alone. But when I was done with my program, it came to know that he was a leader, and he just made himself known. So that he did that for me, I do that to my cast members all the time. Like, just how you doing? Like, yeah. What's going on? And they are comfortable to talk to me because I don't only ask them about like the job. Of course, that's what we do. That's our role. That's the business. But getting that, hey, your dad all right? Like, your kids, how they doing? Like, just getting that personal connection, I think that's something that I took from my college program and brought it to my program now.
Do you lead people who are older than you?
Yes.
Oh, how does that work?
Ooh,
I feel like sometimes like when you think about imposter syndrome, especially when you're younger and you're leading someone older than you, I feel like sometimes for some people that can amplify like the, oh, am I really qualified to do this? Have you guys experienced that at all, leading older people?
Yes. So I work in attractions. We have a courtyard, we have a theater show, and we have a main attraction or whatever. And in this one area, it is a lot of older cast members where they have like higher seniority. And one thing that I can say that I try to do with my cast members, I try to learn from them because they've been here longer than me. They probably know how to work this thing better than I can work it. So when I ask them those questions, they'd be like, oh yeah, Tyria, like, let me show you how to do this. So when I ask those questions, they'd be like, oh yeah, like, she's not only here to kind of lead us. And not saying that is not, I want to say, a negative perspective, but sometimes it can be challenging dealing with older cast members because they have been here for so long, and it's just like me. I'm just coming into this thing. I'm new, so it's a hard transition, not only for me, but for them as well. So just having, like, conversations, I think just bringing up conversations to talk about it, just to bring it to the forefront, because I think is a conversation that we kind of shy away from, but I try to like, hey, how do you feel about certain things, and try to get them more involved to where when it comes up, they can help me amplify whatever I'm trying to do. And I think that's the best way I can put it, for sure.
So basically coming into the role, whenever you are a new leader, some cast members, they're like, oh, like, you're our leader. And it's just like a credibility type thing. But one thing that I did was before I even went, it was like, I need you to do this, or I need you to do that. I built the relationships with the cast, and I learned like how long they've been there, or if they've been there for like 10, 15 years. I got to know them a little more, so they were more open and receptive of if I needed them to do something, or just like learnings from them. So I definitely agree with you when it comes to like asking the cast members, because that is true. They're in the role operating it. They know way more than I do or we do. So I definitely think like building those relationships allowed it to be a little more easier for me leading cast members that are way older than me.
I think we all know that no matter how positive your intentions are, there can always be moments where someone still takes it the wrong way, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So what do you do for yourself to just not take those things so personally?
With me, I'm a communicator. So like if I do get that vibe, the first thing that I'm always gonna do is I may pull that cast member with another leader and just have like that conversation just to understand and make sure that me, I'm also not assuming to see if it was like a negative or if they're like maybe acting a little different. I'll get an understanding. I don't like to sit on things, so I definitely communicate with the cast members and I have that open conversation so they also know that if there is something that maybe I said or I've done or if I led in a way that may not be like the best way for them, they can come to me and let me know like, hey, Tasia, I didn't maybe like the way this was approached, but this is how it made me feel. And then I can learn from it. I can also apologize and then also move forward so that our relationship like grows from there.
I definitely can agree with Tasia when you talk about asking them how they like to be talked to. Like that's something that just a simple form, like how do you like to be treated? Like, or how would you want me to say certain things? So that's something that we learned in one of the classes at Disney University. So that kind of helped me in my role to be like, hey, like Do you like loud kind of acknowledgement, or how do you like to be acknowledged? So just giving them that opportunity to let us know, because some people don't like all of that, but some people want the parade to come down Main Street for them. Like, so just seeing how they operate and try to bring it into kind of like our kind of vibe and what we have going on for sure.
So what do you feel like is one of the biggest leadership lessons you had to learn going into this role?
I can definitely start this one off by saying discipline. Giving out discipline, it was a challenge for me.
That's hard.
It's very hard. Mm-hmm. But I think that's where we go back into like communicating or getting to know the cast member. So when I come up and have to do that discipline, it'd be like, dang, like, you know, and they'll be like, oh, Tyrell, like, my bad. Like, I know, like, but I have to build that relationship for us to even communicate like that when it's something serious. So just turning it on and turning it off, I think that's been the biggest challenge for me, especially when I first got there, because I'm like, what am I doing, like, discipline someone? But at the end of the day, this is a business, and we have to hold cast accountable because guests are our main priority.
Discipline, yes. For sure, but definitely perseverance. I think pushing through those difficult conversations and then also sticking to what you say. Like, don't go back on your word, because the moment you be like, hey, I need you to do this, and then you circle back and they don't do it, and like, you may know that they're not doing it and you just let it slide, that's when it's like they continue to slip through the cracks, because they're going to be like, oh, she doesn't care. Like I can do what I want. And then it's just like, it's so hard to kind of turn that narrative around. So, also, being consistent as well is another thing. You got to have consistency in this role, because if you do not, you're going to struggle.
I'll tell y'all a story. I always got a story for y'all, honestly. So it was this one leader. He's on my team, and he's been there for like 30 years. And he operates totally different than how I operate. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that. What he said, I'm going to try to put it into my kind of like leadership style. When I say it did not work for the cast was looking at me like, who is this? Like, and I was, ever since that day, I was like, Tyrell, be yourself, because you get a different reaction. So I think that was a lesson for me to learn, but I needed to learn it. And I love that I learned it in a program that caters to that transition. So I know, be myself wherever I go, because they're going to be able to spot it out if you faking a funk, so for sure.
You both have had so much exposure to different leaders, directors, executives, even special guests that come in. Have you received any advice that has stuck with you, or have you observed something in someone else that you said, I want to keep that for myself?
We talked about Carla at the beginning of the podcast, and I just want to bring her up because she's really like an inspiration to me. Even though I'm not in that kind of merchandise world, just the type of woman she is and the type of leader she is, I definitely want to operate like that. But I say all that to say, we have a black tie scholarship gala at our school every year, and she decided to invite me to sit at her table just to see how she was respected in her family. And going back to her alma mater to give back, I was like, that's what I want to do. That's who I want to be. That's how I want to operate. And not just, oh, okay, I'm in this role. Like, forget them at Alabama A&M. Going back and actually, like, uplifting the community and giving back because somebody did it for her. And I want to be that person to do it for somebody else. So definitely Carla, she's really, like, my motivation of even why I show up the way I do at work every day. How she dressed, like, she's from, like, I think the south side of Chicago. Don't quote me if that's wrong. But just being from that underrepresented community, because I come from in a very inner city school, and to know that if she could do it, I know I can do it. So that motivation really, really is instilled in me through her, honestly.
I definitely agree with Carla. Like, when I say she pours into us, like, Alabama A&M, like, she pours into us, and as busy as she is, even if it's like 15 minutes, like, she will sit down, have a one-on-one conversation with you. If you need anything, you can always reach out. And one thing that she taught me was just to always, like, be your true authentic self, and then also be confident in any room that you go into, because you never know who's watching. And then also, every time that you go into a room, it's probably like an interview, so you always want to make sure that you are always your best self as soon as you walk into the room. And that's literally
literally like what she is. So when I say like inspiration, that is literally her. Like, she is so amazing, like, to us.
So good.
She is so good.
Love her.
You always gotta have like a mentor figure like that that you can look up to. Like, it's so important. Have you guys been able to kind of do some of that outreach and like give back to the community or inspire other people?
Oh, girl, yes.
You're doing it right now. Yes. I'm telling you.
Do you not know we go to Alabama A&M? Service is sovereignty. Yes. We don't play. We gets down. Like, even when it comes to like volunteering and doing different committees at work, like inclusion committees, just learning about different experiences. So definitely like with volunteers, you see I got on this HBCU Week shirt. Like, I'm coming through for the community every time. So, and I think I want to be that person that gives back as well. And I know Tasia can say the same because our college instilled that in us.
Yeah,
for
they
sure.
definitely instill like service is sovereignty. That is another motto that they that they say. But definitely giving back to the community. And actually, there was just a cultural showcase that was hosted, and one of my cast members, and he came to me and he was like, "So how did you be like, how are you doing what you're doing?" And we had a conversation, and I had told him, I was like, "There is an excellent networking event. You can come. There'll probably be like so many people from other lines of businesses. You can network." When I tell y'all, my boy showed up in his suit. He had his resumes, like he was ready. And when I say I had, like, I was able to walk him to people. I'm like, I was so proud. I was like, "This is my cast member. He wants to do this." And they're like, "Okay, send me an email," so on and so forth. And it just shows like he was committed. He took off of work. He made sure that he came in his suit, his tie, his resume. And then also at the end, he sent me an email just like thanking me, like, "Tasia." And I sent these emails. And then he saw me the other day. He was like, "I got an email from this person. They told me to do this." And it's just like somebody did that for me. And it's like the fact that I'm able to do that for my cast member, like, we lit. Like, I was, yeah. It just like, it made me so proud, because it's just like, wow, it just having the conversations with your cast members and making those connections, like, it means so much. So he made me so proud. So proud.
So you have all of these amazing experiences. You went to an HBCU, you're a part of the HBCU cohort, you get to experience what the Disney College program is like, all of these things, and you're two different people with your own goals. So either where do you want to go, or if you don't know yet, how have these experiences prepped you for that?
I want to be a talk show host, so this is very fitting for me. That's the end goal. But honestly, I want to navigate through the Disney kind of space and just to talk to everybody in their journey. Everybody's journey don't look the same at all. Like, and to, I want to just have my own goals and own journey. I'm kind of doing it for the plot right now. So when I get to my own talk show, like, yeah, y'all know I work for Disney, still do, kind of on ABC right now, you know, but definitely trying to figure that journey out. But I think the leadership aspect is so important, because even when I get to that, because I know I'm going to get there one day, mm-hmm, I want to know how to have simple conversations. And I think people are a priority for me, and people are my passion. So if it got to do with people, sign me up. I honestly don't know where life is going to take me, but I know I'm going to be doing something somewhere great. So
honestly, I didn't even know that I wanted to be a leader, or that I would be a leader or on this management journey. But I will definitely say that it has truly prepared me for anything to come afterwards. I know, like, for me, I do network a lot and I do connect with people. So with me, just like in the moment now, what I'm doing is just hearing everyone's Disney journeys. And it's so unique, because a lot of people, they don't, like, some don't start on the Disney College program. Everyone's journey is unique. I don't know where life's going to take me next, but I'm always open to opportunities, and I also like to be challenged as well. So like I said, I'm in the mindset now where, like, I'm becoming comfortable being uncomfortable, and then also I'm becoming an agent of yes. So even though I may not want to do it, I'm going to always say yes, because I know that it's going to probably learn and help me grow. But right now, that's definitely what I'm doing. It's just like talking with people and connecting, but I don't know where it's going to take me, so who knows.
That's the exciting part, is you get to find out. And like, even with your dream, which you would make a fabulous talk show host, by the way. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's so exciting. And like, I love the part about just saying yes to everything, even if you're not sure. How has saying yes opened doors for you guys?
honestly, being here. Actually, I learned being an agent from, like, being an agent to yes from Carla, because she told me, like, you got to say yes, girl. Even if you don't want to do it, say yes, because you never know. And just, like, being here, had I said no or, like, I wasn't ready, I don't know where I would be. So just it allowed me to open doors and truly grow within my true inner self, and then also as a leader as well.
Just saying yes, like, it let me here. I'm very grateful for all the opportunities that come my way, because trust me, they're going to come in handy sometime in life. So I've been saying yes ever since.
Okay, yeah, I have a follow-up question. This is maybe philosophical, so you don't have to have an answer to this. But I feel like we have given this advice, like, on the podcast before, of, like, just say yes, especially at Disney. Like, you never know who you'll meet. You'll never know what doors open up for you and what random road you could go down that leads you to the Disney College Program Life at Disney podcast. I said that backwards. But, you know, you never know what random road will take you to somewhere really exciting. But how do you figure out, like, how do you two personally figure out what is okay to say no to? Because obviously, you know, there is at some point going to be a crossroads where you have to make a decision. Do I go, do I say yes to this thing or yes to this thing? How do you tell the difference, like, personally?
To tell the difference, I just say it has to align with my goals, what I will allow and what I won't allow. And I think if you stick to that, boundaries is definitely a thing. So if it's a no and you feel it in your gut, I think it's that gut feeling of, like, and you have to believe in yourself, because if you be like, oh, no, I don't want to do it, but you just saying no because you're nervous. You don't know where this opportunity can take you. So sometimes you just be like, you just have to go for it. But sometimes you be like, okay, like, nah, this not it. Like, I can't do it. But alignment, it have to align with your purpose and where you're trying to go, for sure.
Exactly what you said. And then also, I have a mentor as well. So sometimes I'm just like, I don't know. And then sometimes she'll be like, girl, yes. Like, you know, you just don't know yet. You just need to do it. And just like she said, you never know, like, if you're just nervous or it's like fear talking, it's just like, no. But if you have that feeling and you know absolutely that it does not align with your goals, then okay, like, say no. But other than that, if you're just like unsure because you just don't think that, like, you're capable of, like, doing the role or you're going or traveling, whatever, just do it. Like, it's fear talking and you're gonna be scared, like, continue to be scared and be stagnant if you don't just say yes. And you never know what opportunity it can bring or even how fun it'll be.
Exactly. And I like that you say, like, mentor. I think mentors are so important because they're that, like, kind of person that, like, oh, like, maybe you should do this or maybe you shouldn't do that. Like, journaling, like, mentorship, I think those are very important when it goes to having those hard answers and whether you're going to say yes or no. So mentorship, journaling, talking about your feelings, even therapy, honestly. So and yeah, I be going to therapy. I know my therapist is like, girl, like, yeah, you got it going on this week at work. But it's definitely been like having someone to talk to that you either trust or you don't know, because sometimes you really need that unsolicited advice that your friends, they're not going to be real with you. They want to keep you happy, but you just need some real advice to, you know, get you going to the next day for sure.
I love all of that. And I love especially kind of deciding, like, am I just scared to do it? Or do I, like, really not want to do this because it doesn't align? Because, like, sometimes you just have to do it scared.
So you both have talked about being naturally able to find the thing that you need for yourself. For those who are thinking, all right, I need something to help me, what are some of the resources that we have in place to be able to tap into?
Yeah, so for me and also my cast members, these are resources I'll be able to give them as well. We have EAP, which is Employees Assistance Program, and they help with all types of things like childcare, pet care. I'm like, you got a babysitter for your pet. Like, they literally help with so much, and you able to get up to 10 free sessions, and you get a reoccurring session. So if something come up, you get another 10 sessions. But it's really great to know that Disney's really prioritized mental health, because sometimes it's really needed, especially when you're at work, because some people do come to work and they have a lot that's going on. And by me being so young, I don't know how to navigate through certain spaces. So I try to encourage them, like, hey, like, EAP, you can call them at any time. They have a hotline. So just encourage them to use it, because I know some people don't like to talk about their feelings, but in my area, we, hey, y'all doing all right? Everything's going good. Like, to know that we have an open door policy, just you can come in our office and scream. That's how serious we take mental health over there, because it can be a lot. It's overstimulating. You're working at Disney. It's a lot of things going on. You're using your five senses every day at Disney. When you're walking in the park, you're smelling something. You're hearing a band come down. Like, it's always something going on. So when you just need a moment to relax, I think EAP is great, because they help with like finding an apartment, housing, like it's a whole lot. So definitely check out Disney Cast Life. They have all the available resources for you to use on there.
Okay, so we will close with this last question. Do you guys have any advice to give either to HBCU students or students who are part of the HBCU cohort?
Network. And I say network because that is truly how you make your connections. And then also, there's always somebody here that wants to help guide you and help you navigate through your Disney College program or career journey in general. So when I say network as much as you can, and not just network, but follow up. Like, follow up with the connections that you make, because that's one thing. You can meet someone, and then if you don't talk to them for like 5-6 months, and then you hit them up, be like, hey, I have a question. They're going to be like, who is this? Or I haven't heard from you. And seeing one thing I do is like, I don't care if we meet for like 5-10 minutes. I'll send like a thank you so much for chatting with me about this. I look forward to like seeing you soon or something like that. You don't always have to just be like, hey, can we schedule time? Like, just say thank you. And that goes a long way.
So some advice that I have is, when you come down here on the program or you're just getting started, make sure you do that job or that role to the best of your ability. Always put 100% in, whether that's in custodial or your operations, food and beverage, because trust me, someone is always looking. Someone is always watching. So when we talk about those network opportunities, like Tasia said, they can be like, oh yeah, like I see you. I see how you hustle. I see your work ethic. So they'll be able to help you further your career. So it always start off what you're doing right now and make it your best.
And also make sure that those impacts that you have on the individuals that you work with are positive, because I always hear when I do like connect with people, like, you never know how many times somebody may circle back around and may be your leader or maybe on the same team as you. So if you don't have like that positive impact, or they see you as a certain way, you always want to make sure that it's like a good impression. So you never know who you're going to circle back to, because Disney's big, but it's small in the same, like, I feel like Everybody almost knows everybody. So definitely always make sure that you are definitely giving 110%.
So Tasia, of course, you're very familiar with this, but Tyria, since this is your first time here, before you go, We have a few questions that have been submitted on our Instagram, Official Disney Programs. Would you be willing to answer just a few of them before you head out?
Yes, I will.
Perfect. So the first question comes from Fiona. I just scheduled my phone interview. What should I expect?
When it comes to the phone interview, be yourself, be confident. I think people overreact to the phone interview or try to make it intimidating. It's not intimidating at all. It's literally just a conversation with someone. So be yourself.
I definitely agree. Be yourself. Answer the questions with confidence. And then also, before you go in, just know a little bit about the program itself. By doing the research and knowing a little bit about the program, use that to kind of figure out how maybe Disney aligns with like your goals or just the role that you're doing now, and then just answer the questions with confidence. Don't overthink it.
Perfect. Okay, this question comes from Drew. How do you stay connected to Disney on the Yard after your college program?
How I stay connected with Disney on the Yard is Instagram. Instagram is literally how I operate in my day-to-day. So Instagram, they give you all the details of when they're coming or if they're going to be at a school near you, maybe at a HBCU. You never know when you're going to see Drum Major Mickey walking down on your yard, because it's always a good time when you see Drum Major Mickey. So stay connected and engage with the content as well.
Okay. And then this last one is from Destiny. What's your favorite part about being a leader?
My favorite part about being a leader is definitely connecting with my cast members. Because when I tell y'all, we be having so much fun. Like, I go, every time I go in, they'd be like, oh my gosh, Tasia. And I'm like, ah, that's it. I'm like, Yes, it's me. They'd be like, are you closing? And I'm like, yes. Or they'd be like, are you our leader today? Or are you going to be in one of the other areas? I'm like, no, I'm here. But just like seeing them and them so excited for me to be there and then me excited to see them. I love making work so fun, because the last thing I want is for like it to just seem like, oh, I have to go back in, or I'm clocking in and I don't want to be here. So I want it to be like a fun experience, because I had the time of my life on my program. So I want them to have that experience as well.
I definitely agree with Tasia. The cast members make it worth your while. But I'm at Hollywood Studios. I'm in operation. So our executive, he always say, be curious. His name is Ruff. And that's something that I'm starting to, you know, take in my day-to-day life. Like, be curious. Like, you never know. Like, oh, what's this? Or how could I help this? So just being curious. And I think that's one of my favorite things about being a leader, especially a new leader, because we're always talking about like the things that we have to do, but what are the things that we don't know? So I think the don't know really interests me, and being able to navigate that is something that I'm trying to do, and I'm kind of doing it so well. So definitely being curious for sure.
Well, thank you both so much for being here and answering our questions, as well as the questions that everyone submitted. We are going to move into a little game, if you guys are down.
Ooh, yes.
Okay. The game is categories. So Josiah and I will think of a category, we'll give it to you, and then you have to name as many things that fit into that category as possible, and you'll go back and forth.
Okay.
Okay. Attractions at Disney parks.
Space Mountain.
Tower of Terror.
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Frozen Sing-Along.
Animation Courtyard. Disney Junior Play and Dance.
Oh, teacups.
Peter Pan.
Pirates.
Big Thunder Mountain.
Dumbo.
Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, Rise of the Resistance.
People Mover.
Barnstormer.
Wait, what?
The Barnstormer.
Astro Orbiter.
Slinky Dog Dash.
Toy Story Mania.
Smuggler's Run.
Tiana's.
Star Tours.
Hall of Presidents.
Period. Guardians of the Galaxy.
The Aladdin Carpet Ride.
Ratatouille.
Jungle Cruise. Mm-hmm.
The Safari Tours.
Okay. Frozen.
You said Frozen.
No, I
already
said Frozen Sing-Along. It's Frozen Ever After.
What's that ride in Mexico?
It ain't Frozen.
What's that ride in Mexico?
I help you that. Grand Fiesta. That's Grand Fiesta.
I ain't know the name of the ride, but I know it's a ride in Mexico.
Soarin'.
Flight of Passage.
Figment.
Living with the Land. Thank you.
Awesome Planet.
What? I ain't never heard of that.
Yes, it's the show in Epcot. Thank you. It's the show in
Beauty
Epcot.
And the Beast Sing-Along. Mm.
This is the most intense game that I've ever seen on this podcast ever.
Oh, Spaceship Earth.
Astro Orbiter.
I already said that. You out.
I was thinking of the Epcot ball. What's that called? Spaceship Earth.
I just said that.
You said that too. All right. Well, thank you both so much for being here. We had so much fun with you today. Unfortunately, our time has come to a close, but we really appreciate both of you.
Thanks for having us. This was so fun.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
For everyone listening and watching at home, make sure you stay in touch with us by following @officialDisneyPrograms on Instagram. Until next time, we'll see you soon. This episode of the Life at Disney podcast, Disney College Program miniseries, was produced by Matthew Nixon, Kayla Messenger-McCarty, Destiny Enriquez, Kennedy Krause, Drew Morales, Brenna Crumble, and Amanda Vetrano. Creative support was provided by Joshua Davila. Production support was provided by John Fulton and Isabel Vickery. Editing was completed by Hannah Butler. Special thanks to our hosts, Holly Dudley and Josiah Williams, the Disney Programs Communications Team, the Disney Programs Recruitment Team, and our guests, Tyria and Tasia.